Praise the Lord. Wow, Lord, I thank you all that he will do. Praise God. I think we need to give it up a little bit. There's just such a truth about that. He has done such amazing things, but it's to set us up and put our faith in it. We take the resources of what he has done, especially in his redemptive work, but he has well stocked us. So to provide for us, because he's going to do some great things. We need everything that he has done to believe him for what he will do. Amen. But let's just give up a big roar. Hallelujah. What you will do. Hallelujah. While we're here in January, we praise you. Hallelujah. We give you the best. We give you the best. We give you the best. Oh, we give you the best. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody except for the people with January birthdays can sit down. Did anyone have January birthdays? Look at these January people. You had a birthday. Do you know, while we were standing there singing, I just felt that God wanted to pronounce a blessing upon these people that were born in this month. Amen. Can we just let God do that? Hallelujah. Amen. Father God, we thank you for every single one of these January people. They came into the world. They were born the first time. They have a body. Yeah, they do. Different ages of their bodies, but their bodies carry such divine destiny. Father, we're asking that in this year of their life, there would be an unfolding of the reason of their life. We thank you for what they've already accomplished in their life to this point, but we're asking that your hand be upon them in a definite way, that there would be, there, I'm going to just say it again, an unfolding of the destiny in their life. Not the totality of it, but there would be a realization in a greater degree than what they've ever had before of why they were born. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not too old. Not too old. Not too this. Not too that. Absolutely born in the right time and alive in the right time. And you're going to fulfill your course. And you're going to do it with joy. You're going to live out the days, all the days of your life. Praise the Lord. We celebrate your life. Amen. Hallelujah. You maybe sit down. And then your granddaughter had, what is her name, Caitlin or something like that, had a birthday. And I had a word about her. She's not here, but I had a word about her. And maybe you can pass it on in the right time. I just had that there would be a disappointing friendship. That doesn't sound very good, does it? But she's not to lay it to heart. God has a very kindred heart prepared for her, and she's not to lay it to heart as far as feeling terrible and get morose about it. She's to start thanking God for a God-ordained friendship in her life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I see you holding that until the right time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, that's kind of a different thing. But you know, just along the line of friendships, friendships don't have to be in the same age group. I'm going to just say that. They don't have to be in the same age group, and they don't have to be, you know, always just with the same passions in life or whatever. If you go by heart and then you find your friends around an altar or in times of prayer, You find your friends in His presence. I found the friends that have lasted the decades of my life, decades. And I never worry if they're mad at me. I never wonder if they're talking bad about me, ever. Because you know why? They're not. You know why? Because I found them in the same place I go in God. I wasn't even looking for them. I was looking for Him. I was just hungry for God. Just hungry for God. And I found other people were hungry for Him too. And so we just hooked up and became friends. Those are the best kind to have. I married one of those too, you know. That really works out well. Praise the Lord. Isn't He good? Hallelujah. Well, I just have to say before getting, and I have, there's a bit of an assignment for us tonight. And we'll just do that. We're here to pray for the football game. No, I'm kidding. The team of your choice, and then it's going to be a contest to see who can pray the best. Just kidding. But I have had the best time with your pastors. It's just been just a pure delight. And because we've had such a delightful time, I couldn't believe how late it was. But we got to talking about the Lord and stuff and talking about the Word, talking about things of God. And we just got, I reckon we could have talked all the night, you know? Just wonderful. I just am so happy that your pastors are following Jesus. Boy, that's a relief, isn't it? Woo! Following Jesus. Just precious, precious, precious people. Anyway, it's been good to be in Jamestown, New York, and in January, actually. It is. It's been really, really refreshing. Praise the Lord. So, my husband Tony and I have lived outside of America for 30 years. Now for 3 decades, going on 31 years. Our first daughter was 3 months old when we moved to Sicily. And then I had my second daughter, our second daughter in Sicily. And then we moved to Rome for 4 years, and then northern Italy for 3 years, and then Singapore for 4, and then now Australia for 18. Wow. I know. That's pretty wild, hey. So, but anyway, I don't know how many years now it has been. We've always come and gone, you know, in ministry here, and we have family here. I have one daughter who's moved back here. She and her husband live in South Carolina. I'm going there tomorrow. And I get to see, I met Oliver this morning. Is there little Oliver in the church? Anyway, I met Oliver. Yeah, I met Oliver this morning, and I have an olive, Olive May. Doesn't that sound Southern? That's her heart. And then I'll go home from there. But every time I've come over, now it's been years, and then return, the last service that I'm in the States, it's just a thing between me and the Lord to pray for this country. We're in that service, okay? We're in that service. So in the end of this time together, we have an appointment with the head of the church to pray. And we did this morning, and I really hooked up with that prayer. It was really thorough. That prayer was quite thorough. Do you pray thoroughly like that? He tends to pray thoroughly like that, okay? It was... it was really, really good. And so I know that as we start to pray, or as we start getting into this subject, that you have been Bible taught along these lines. So so we're not having to introduce or tread softly or something like that. We'll be able to just really add by the Holy Spirit, just if there's something that we can do to add to your faith. And I just feel the greatest honor to just stand with you in this, what's the name of this county? Chautauqua County in New York, in northeastern United States, in this, in the North American continent, in this hemisphere, and a part of our world, praise the Lord, before the coming of the Lord. So we're at a very unique time. When we look back in time, it is a very unique time. On the way over here, and I was telling your pastors on the way over here, I watched, I felt to watch the movie called Harriet Tubman. And I think she ended up in these parts up here someplace. So I like history. I like what has happened. I like to see how God has moved. He is amazing, you know, and how he works with people and constructs things and everybody. But I'm just real aware that there's people over on the other side that are really watching us, because we have no idea the weight. We have some idea, but the weight of the hour that we're in. So many pivotal things, so many crucibles. We're really, really at a very important point of human existence and in this particular dispensation. And things are closing up. And, you know, you can look back in the Bible of who were the characters, who were the people involved in the stories of the Exodus? Who were people involved in the story, in the stories when David became king? Who were the folks involved in the stories when Jesus was born? And so there are some people by name, some people by profession. You don't get their names. They were just shepherds. We don't know their names, but they, you know, at least they were somewhat. But then there was a heap of people that weren't even mentioned at all, and yet they were supportive to the story. We're in that kind of weighty time again. That you are alive is just amazing. Amazing. So, so we want to look into the Word. Thank God for the Word. So we go back into Psalms. If we could go back into Psalms, I'm going to read a number of verses of Scripture and just come along. It'll seem maybe a little heavy, but then we'll see what our assignment is. Okay, verse 2, the wicked arrogantly hunt down the poor. See, right away, I told you it's kind of heavy. Let them be caught in the evil they plan for others. Something that I noticed in David's writings in Psalms, of course, you know, the Psalms are full of what we always identify in the Psalms are Psalms of praise. Isn't it so? So many psalms of praise. David was also prayerful. He also had some psalms that identified some, you know, some heaviness in his heart for different reasons and different things like that. And he would, some of the psalms are kind of what you'd hear maybe only casting you when you cast your care on the Lord. You wouldn't be wanting to tell everybody. And you wonder if David knew that all of his psalms were going to be read for forever. You know, I've talked some of those ways privately to the Lord, you know, and I cast my care on the Lord. But anyway, they're there. And what they do is help us to know that when you're feeling kind of rough and awful and terrible and whatever, for whatever reason, rather than just trying to cram it down, you run to him. And usually those kind of psalms always, where they may start a little funky, they always end so good, you know. He always comes up for air. Praise the Lord. But he also prays. There's a number. I've been going through the psalms and marking them, and it's just startling. It would be something interesting just in your own reading of the psalms for you to notice now, fresh in this year, how many times he prays regarding the wicked. He prays regarding the wicked. So we're into some of that in this one, okay? He said, the wicked arrogantly hunt down the poor. And here's a prayer. Let them be caught in the evil they plan for others. Wow. Let them be caught in the evil they plan for others. For they brag about their evil desires. They praise the greedy and they curse the Lord. The wicked are too proud to seek God. They seem to think God is dead. Yet they succeed in everything. They seem to succeed in everything they do. They do not see your punishment awaiting them. They sneer at all their enemies. They think nothing bad will ever happen to us. We will be free of trouble forever. Their mouths are full of cursing, lies, and threats. Trouble and evil are on the lips of their tongues. They lurk in the ambush of the village. They wait, waiting to murder innocent people. Okay, do you see how current event this is? They are always searching for helpless victims. Like lions crouched in hiding, they wait to pounce on the helpless. Like hunters, they capture the helpless and drag them away in nets. Their helpless victims are crushed. They fall beneath the strength of the wicked. The wicked think, God isn't watching us. He's closed his eyes and won't even see what we do. Now here's a prayer. Arise, O Lord, punish the wicked. Do not ignore the helpless. Why do the wicked get away with despising God? They think God will never call us to account. But you see the trouble and grief they cause. You take note of it and punish them. The helpless put their trust in you. You defend the orphans. Keep going. It's pretty heavy. Break the arms of these wicked, evil people. Go after them until the last one is destroyed. The Lord is king forever and ever. The godless nations will vanish from the land. Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you will hear their cries and comfort them. You will bring justice to the orphans and the oppressed, so mere people can no longer terrify them. Can we do something about people who are victims and being terrified? Yeah, we can. Yeah, we can. So we will. Go to Psalms 11. Next one. I trust in the Lord for protection. So why do you say to me, like, fly like a bird to the mountains for safety? The wicked are stringing their bows and fitting their arrows on the bowstrings. They shoot from the shadows at those whose hearts are right. Now look at this one. The foundations of law and order have collapsed. What can the righteous do? I want you to particularly notice that verse, because I believe the challenge that the Lord put in my heart today was an answer to that question right there. The foundations of law and order have collapsed. what can the righteous do? But the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord still rules from heaven. He watches everyone closely, examining every person on the earth. The Lord examines both the righteous and the wicked. He hates those who love violence. He will rain down blazing coals and burning sulfur on the wicked, punishing them with scorching winds. For the righteous Lord loves justice. The virtuous will see his face. And of course, immediately our new covenant minds, if they've been taught, which yours have, and our hearts that have been exposed to this new covenant and have walked with the Lord Jesus, who is the Redeemer of all people, we filter this and new covenant eyes it. God's not looking to rain down burning coals and fire on wicked people. So what is he doing? Is he just looking away now in the new covenant? In the new covenant, he just excuses and smiles at the wicked. Is that what he's doing? Is that what makes it better? No. So while it may not be as it was before Jesus gave his life's blood for everybody, including the worst of the worst, it isn't that. I mean, now Jesus has done a work that was not yet, had not yet happened when David prayed these prayers. There are things about these prayers or these psalms that we can see about the attitude of the wicked that is still today. Yeah. Oh, don't, isn't it? Yeah. Just arrogantly haughty, like, and not just against the righteous, but against God himself. And also, what we see from these scriptures is this preying upon people that can't defend themselves. And how does God feel about that in the new covenant? Does that bother him? Is there something we can do about it? Is there something that he's looking for us to do about it? And I'm telling you, there is something. That's why we're here on a Sunday night. Because there's something he wants us to do as an ecclesia, a governing body. So this portion of scripture says that he rules in heaven. The amazing thing is that he does, but we rule with him. So if something is going to happen on the earth, he needs our cooperation. I know you're familiar with this verse of scripture in Psalms 116, verse 15, I believe it is. The heavens belong to God, or is it Psalms 115, verse 16? Anyway, it's one of those two. The heavens belong to God. The heavens belong to God, but the earth he's given to the sons of men. And in that one statement answers many questions. People say, well, if God is da-da-da-da, why is da-da-da? Because he gave it to us, and look what we did with it. Maybe you didn't do it, maybe I didn't do it, but humans did it. He gave it to man. So if you can clarify that, you can just shout it out, and I'm happy. Psalms what? 115, verse 16. Psalms 115, verse 16. Okay, let's go to the next chapter. The Lord loves righteousness, loves justice. The virtuous will see his face. Okay, next chapter. Psalms 12. We'll skip just down to, let's go. Neighbors lie to one another. Verse 2, speaking with flattering lips, deceitful hearts, may the Lord cut off their flattering lips and silence their boasting tongues. They say, we will lie to our heart's content. Our lips are our own. It's our own truth. It's our own way. Who can stop us? pretty current, isn't it? The Lord replies, I've seen violence done to the helpless, and I've heard the groans of the poor. Now I will rise to rescue them as they have longed for me to do. The Lord's promises are pure, like silver refined in a furnace, purified seven times over. Therefore, Lord, we know you will protect the oppressed, preserving them forever from this lying generation. Even though the wicked strut about and evil is praised throughout the land. Let's go to the next chapter and just land on verse 5, the last verse. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. We were singing, I think it was this in Mississippi, we were saying, you are good. In the morning I say, you are good. You know that one? In the evening I say, you are good. You are good to me. You're good. And then you just sing good. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. He is so good. But the thing about our God is he's not just looking and longing to be good. He picks and chooses who he wants to be good. And then he's mean to some other people. He wants to, his goodness is over all his works. His tender mercies are over all his works. His eyes are looking to and fro in all the earth, looking for people to show himself good to, merciful to. And so that's where you and I come in. Because there are people who may not know to how to align for his goodness. They don't know how to become recipients of his goodness. And there's a massive gap between his goodness and their agony. So big is the gap between his goodness and their agony that they themselves wonder if he exists. And other people who know of their pain also wonder if he exists. Have you talked to people who wonder if God exists because of the pain? I know that man that I told you about this morning, it was one of the big struggles of his life. He just cannot work it out how there can be so much pain in the earth. And then, you know, and then there's God. That's where you and I, as the ecclesia, are able to fill in the gap. Gap between a good God and an aching world. And that's one reason we're here tonight. So there's practical things that we can do. We don't just have to sit and look at it on the news and just, you know, just grimace, just think, oh, that's horrible. No, well, let's do something. Do something. That was one of the reasons why God sent Jesus is, you know, there was nobody to stand in the gap. There was no, you know, there was this problem and there was all these answers that God has. On Wednesday night, we're going to hear answers from God. But there was this massive gap between God's answers and God's love and the people that needed to receive it. So Jesus stood in the gap. We call it intercession. We call it prayer. It can be just as simple as being tender and willing to hurt for people who hurt rather than looking away. Don't look away. We've got to do something about it. All right. Now let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to Romans. And just real quickly, I know I won't have to go into detail because I know you're taught about this. But God has two sets of ministers. He's got you. He's got us. He's got his body. And there's different there's different aspects of his ministry. There's different ways of his ministry through his body. Just like the body has different, the physical body has different functions, so does the body of Christ have different functions. But it's all to accomplish the will of the Father in the earth. And so, and the earth and, you know, God's purposes. So, he has ministers, not just fivefold, that is definitely an aspect, and their big responsibility is actually to train everybody in the body so everybody can do the work of the ministry. Everybody's activated because nobody in this body has zero function. Everybody has function. So he's got those ministers, and we respect them, and we there's heaps of verses of scripture in the New Testament, especially in the epistles, especially to pray. We don't just receive and appreciate them. We actually have got to help them because they're kind of targeted, because they're like military officers. If you can take one of them out, or if you can get one of them to stumble, especially stumble or compromise in some way, it affects the body. So we pray for leaders, you know, that they're strong and that they are bold and that they're protected and they're strengthened by God, and they're walking with Jesus all the days of their lives, staying humble under his hand, all of that. Okay, I know you know that. But then we also have this other set of ministers too, that Romans lets us be aware of, and it's in Romans 13 and verse 1. It says, everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against God, what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what's right, and they will honor you. But this is the verse. The authorities are God's servants. So we know that ministers are God's servants. You're God's servants. All right? But God's servants that are his body minister from the throne. If I could say it this way, the resources from Jesus and the grace and the mercy that flow freely from the throne, you and I are dispensers of that. That's why we're not anointed in this covenant to act like Old Testament ministers. We don't minister condemnation. We minister the life and the love of God, which doesn't leave you where you are. It helps raise you up and get you out. But it doesn't minister death. It ministers life. All right? So, that's New Testament ministers minister that. So when people have done wrong and when people are all amok and they come to the body for help, the ministry that's going to come out of the body generally, I'm talking about generally, is going to look like Jesus's ministry. Even like to that woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Even like a swindler like Zacchaeus. He's going to do things like that. It's going to be like that. Whereas, and you're going to get mercy. If they come to us as the body of Christ, but we're not acting like Christ, we're acting like Moses, which Moses was great. Moses is great. But even when Jesus came, he didn't represent Moses. Do you remember that? They said, what do you say about, and they named some things about marriage. And he said, from the beginning, it was this way. And they said, well, Moses said, and then Jesus' reply said, from the beginning. He went back to Father's design because he wasn't here to represent, even though he fulfilled the law, he wasn't here to represent it. Isn't that amazing? He represented the original Father heart. So when we are acting as his body, we don't represent Moses either. But like Jesus, we don't break the law either. You know, we're not against that. That's just not who we represent. Well, Moses said, well, the law said, we'll be found by the help of the Holy Spirit to say, Jesus said, and we'll say, the Father God says. Isn't that wonderful? There was the maid was just coming to my room when I got back to my room today. She was doing some stuff while I just got in there and was settling in, and I just felt like I needed to talk to her. And I told her, I said, you know, God really cares for you. And it just shook her. I said, no, really, every area of your life, he really cares about you. And she just was staring. I said, he loves you. He told me to say something else. I found her down the hall a while later. And she just shocked by the love of God. People just need to be shocked by the love of God. It's a redefining of Christianity in these days. Years and years ago, Christianity in missionaries was brought by a menagerie of people, was brought in by missionaries that gave their life for Jesus and for the people they ministered to. But it was also under the same cross as people who came in and cut people's heads off in the name of Jesus. You know, the gospel has been so contaminated by impure delivery. So much so that I believe in some countries it has to be reintroduced. I know that may sound crazy or wild, but maybe not to any of you. I tell you, the gospel shouldn't even be associated. The name of Jesus shouldn't even be associated with what some things have been done in his name. And I believe God is raising up a whole new breed of people who will represent the Father, represent the Son, and do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pure and clean. For the people that they're reaching. Okay, so that's that set of ministers. And I tell you, there's got to be some work done in that. Even in talking about it, it just stirs up in my heart. I know he's calling little boys. He's calling little girls. He's calling teenagers. He's calling middle-aged people. And they are being raised up to reintroduce the real Jesus. Here's something, just a little bit, maybe seems a little bit odd. I went into, I had a doctor's appointment. I was sitting beside a man. When I came in, I thought, where should I sit? And I saw a man in a dress and high heels. I thought, I'm going to go sit by him. So I did. I went and sat down beside him. He was sitting here. I said, what's your name? And it was a woman's name. I said, tell me your story. So he told me his story, very sad story, actually, to tell you the truth. And how he ended up in this way, and he only had 17% chance to live. He was going to die, and he thought, well, the last years of his life, he decided, or years, the last days, really, of his life, he would just do what he really wanted to do. So that's when he put on a dress and high heels, started carrying a purse. Anyway, I just talked to him, listened to him, talked to him. And I said, could I pray for you? He said, oh, he said, I wouldn't want to talk to God. He said, he's very unkind. He said, God would be the last person I would talk to. I said, oh, I don't know that you know him. He said, he's cruel. He's the meanest. He said, you know, I try to be nice to people every day. He said, I get control if people are mean to me, and there are people that are mean to me. He said, but I can control what I do. And even if people are mean to me, I can be nice to them. And I've chosen to be nice. He said, God has chosen to be mean. That really, so then you're sitting there, you know. You can't just say, what? Have a good day. And I said, you know, if you met somebody or if you've heard somebody that has represented him, that's made him sound mean, that you would never, ever talk to him because you would only expect cruelty from him. I just have to say I'm sorry. On their behalf, they didn't represent him right. You say he's not mean to men with a skirt on and high heels. Moses may have been. Moses was. Jesus is trying to save people. Either that, or we need to say that actually where it says that his blood was shed for everybody, that actually was a bold-faced lie, and the Bible is actually not true, and the Bible really isn't for everybody, and the blood of Jesus really isn't for everybody. And when he said it is finished, it really wasn't finished. Or how many of us really believe that what Jesus did is for everybody? Everybody. So he's looking for servants that represent the mercy seat and the blood that was put on the mercy seat. Even if it goes against our preferences and, you know, sometimes what people do is just like, But Jesus, when he went to the cross, didn't say, I'm going to exclude you from my work. He included the whole lot. The whole lot. Yeah. Wow. Ministers of God. So we minister over here on the mercy seat and grace to blast works of the devil off of people's lives. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil, but he didn't destroy people. He really loved people. So we really are going to have to hone in representing him. So you end up crying and weeping for people that you used to snarl at, make jokes about. And your heart starts going, God help him. He can't move through ridicule and scorn, but he can move through compassion, and he can change anyone if they'll open up to him. Let's look at the other one. Let's look at the other one here. It says, the authorities are God's servants. Okay, they don't minister mercy. Sometimes you wish that they would, you know, when they pull you over for speeding. You ask for it or whatever. But they're actually not to hand out. Just think if all they did was hand out mercy. So sometimes I think the servants of the Lord have got it backwards. The church has ministered judgment, and weak authorities have looked the other way and ministered mercy or nothing. He needs people in their right categories, because as the body of Christ, we minister this amazing aspect of God, his compassion, his love, his mercy, his goodness. We minister that. We minister healing and deliverance. The authorities can't do that. They put demon-possessed people in jail. We cast them out. You know, it's just different. But then he needs his servants in the civic authorities to minister his, listen to this, his justice. Because God is just. He's not just ooey-gooey and love, shmove, and everything is just okay. It's not. And so if we'll do well our part, the ministers of the Lord, the body of Christ, ministering and representing the body of Christ, then these... and. It also includes praying for these other servants. And these servants over here may not even know him. That's what's the most amazing thing. Because the places of authority that they stand in, their seats of authority, those seats are stationary. They just, can we make this seat come up here? Just right here. Actually, can you bring that seat up on the platform? Because so everybody can see that. So these seats of authority, you know, all the way from the sheriff or Catawacha County. What's the name of this county? It was something. County. A sheriff of, you know, or, you know, people from this county or city council, whatever. All these seats of authority, they're seats of authority. There's nothing wrong with the seat. Sometimes there is something wrong with the folk that sit on it. But this seed stays, and they come and go. It's a little different than the ministers of the Lord. We have an eternal relationship with the Lord. We're in union with Christ. And so for us to represent him, we actually have to know him. The people that sit in these seats may not even know him at all, may not know him at all, but he set up authorities way back in Genesis. He set up governments. And people come and they sit here. And sometimes they do well in this seat, and sometimes they do poor in this seat. But whoever sits in this seat, we pray for this office. Because there are unseen spirits, just like there are on this side, that if demons and strategies of the devil can get ministers, I'm talking about all of us, any of us to fall, and leaders to fall in the Lord, it is in his warfare against the kingdom of God, it's a real blam against the kingdom of God. Blam. Hmm. But you know what I mean. It's a real hit against the kingdom of God. And people, if people don't respond well here, who they doubt, you know who they doubt? They get doubts about God. Isn't that the truth? So he gets people to crumble here because then it makes people have doubts about God. If God is good, if God is real, if God exists, you know, okay, here. Do you know the same thing happens over here? If justice isn't served, people say, there's not a God. He doesn't care about the poor. I think that's one reason why in our hearts, sometimes stories of vindication and justice, it feels like it scratches an itch somewhere. It's really a human itch. There's something in the human that is looking for justice, not just for you, but for people who don't have justice in their life. Isn't it true? You want justice for them. So we're going to get to where, I mean, we can talk a lot about these things, but then we wouldn't get to our assignment. And I want to get to our assignment. Don't you want to get to the assignment? Okay, so it says here in verse 3, go back up to verse 3, the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. And the term in, I think it's New King James, I don't know if you can put that up, or King James, find the one that says, they bear not the sword in vain. You know what I'm talking about? You've read that? They bear not the sword in vain. And that's the phrase I got today. We're praying tonight where he wants us to pray about the sword. I talked about a sword this morning. It's all about sword today. The sword. They bear not the sword in vain. They're God's servants. They said it again. Sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience and pay your taxes too. Okay, we won't go into that. But they're God's servants. And then it repeats it. God didn't repeat it because he forgot that he said it. He repeated it for emphasis. They're God's servant. They're not God's servants the way that we're God's servant. They're not to represent the mercy, the compassion, the anointing, the glory, the healing. No, 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 no. They're to demonstrate the justice of God. I think where I experienced this, one of the best places that I experienced this, and maybe I talked to you guys about this in the car. I don't know. I can't remember. About Singapore. Did we talk about Singapore? Okay. Well, in Singapore, we lived there for 4 years. Singapore was it was malaria ridden, just like what, 50, 60 years ago. And it was just nothing. And it was a place where the Japanese took POWs and just tortured the fire out of them. Singapore has a terrible connotation in that. But then they came into a new government. And in just 40 years, they went from a third world to a first plus, plus, plus. We had never been anywhere that was so technologically advanced. Amazing. Smart people. Squeaky clean. You'd get fined for spitting on the sidewalk or gum on the sidewalk. They just didn't even sell gum for the longest time. They didn't want it dirty. Strict laws. It was against the law to gamble, prostitution, gangs, and drugs. Drugs, they won't talk about it and let you write a book about it and put you on TV with it. They will just kill you in just a few days. If you exceed a certain amount where it comes into trafficking, you're dead. And no one feels sorry for you. They don't even talk about you like, should we do it? Should we, let's vote, let's plead for their life. Everyone's like, kill them. When we first moved there, it was when Mr. Clinton was president. And there was an expat's son from America and an expat's son from, I think, Japan. I don't know, it was another Asian country. And they had gotten up into mischief. And they had keyed some cars. Well, they were going to have, what do you say? I can't even remember how many canes. That's not a tap on the wrist. That's a cane. Usually, I know this is very plain, but usually on the first whack, anybody that gets first whack just wets their pants. Okay, I told you it was plain. It's that bad. And they were supposed to get, I can't remember, I think 10 whacks or something like that. And if you pass out, which you do, they wait and revive you before they administer the other ones. You have to be conscious on every whack. So the father of this young man got involved. He was a businessman. He got involved through the State Department, and Mr. Clinton pled for him to drop the sentence to less whacks. He did get whacked, but it was less. The father of the Japanese boy said, whack him. He broke the law. Cane him. He was talking about his son. So the Singaporeans said, okay, we'll drop this, and you'll never come in our country again. You will never come in. He keyed a car. Yeah. You will never come in our country again. And he won't. But they said, we'll follow this young man. Do you know it was only a couple years later till that young man assaulted his own father here? And they said, see? It only, you know, just kind of fed their thing. So I'm just saying, this was the society we lived in for 4 years. And this verse of scripture says, if you don't want to be afraid, then do what's right. But if you want to do wrong, then it says it, be afraid. Because they bear not the sword in vain. And I thought, oh, that's what that verse means. Oh, that's what that sword, that's what that verse means indeed. They're tough. But there was no crime. Our girls were still little when we moved there. We put them on taxi to go to the zoo. We got into a zoo club called Friends of the Zoo, and we'd put them on a taxi. They were just little girls, and they would go. We'd send them. Tony and I would be preaching in different churches on that little island. We'd send our girls to church in a taxi, and listen to this: they'd get there. It wouldn't even enter your mind that they wouldn't get there. Where our church was, in that Methodist church, they had a daycare center. Fine. There would be the darlingest little girls or a little darlingest little boy get out of a taxi cab in the morning. And the next day, they'd do the same thing. There was never one incident against a child. Not one. Why? Because nobody has temporary insanity there. Everyone tends to keep their mind. Why? Because you will flat die. And not 4 years from now or 12 years from now. I mean, it's soon. It's hard and swift. Okay, I'm not saying let's all do that. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. I only gave that as an example. I lived in that. And I did my walking at 10 o'clock at night. And never was concerned. Ever. I could walk anywhere. That's pretty, but anyway, I'm just saying that to illustrate that verse. The only scared people in the country were the mean ones, the bad ones. If you are keeping the law, they're going to make life safe for you. Why? Because they bore not the sword in vain. They didn't say it was against the law, but then give you a pass or look the other way. It followed through. Does this make sense? Because this is our assignment tonight. We're going to get there right away. We're to pray for this set over here. And we're going to pray in the Holy Spirit because, frankly, I don't know what to tell Almighty God to do about this. I don't. But there are some real gaps and some real dinged up swords and swords that are in the sheaths and aren't even in the Justice Department. In every level. And it makes the wicked flaunt their wickedness and get bolder and bolder and bolder and bolder and bolder about it. and become more and more and more cruel to innocent people. So what can we do to help innocent people? Well, tonight what we can do, because this was the assignment, is we're going to pray about the sword in vain, not being in vain. I talked to my husband, and I were invited by the police department in our community. They do once a year. They do like a banquet. It's called an All Faiths Banquet, held by the police department. And they invite certain pastors from the area, and but also imams from mosque and Hindu temples and Buddhists. And I sat by a lady that was from the Baha'i faith. So you have all kinds of different religions there. They do it purposefully because in our community there's a 217 different ethnic groups represented. So many different religions. So they know that. So anyway, and then there's policemen interspersed in a table of 12. There's all kinds of religions, and then there's policemen. So anyway, I was talking to the constable. They call them constables, you know, that's that English thing. So I was talking to the constable, and he said that it is nearly impossible if the respect, we would call it the fear of God or something, you know, but if the respect of the community for law enforcement lowers, it's almost impossible for them to police. I didn't realize that. They have whole studies about it. They've studied different countries, and they've studied ours here. They said that America is at 50%. There's a very, very low respect for these servants of God. And we can just look at them and say, well, if y'all will just da-da-da-da-da. That's not our position to do. Our position to do is to come over here and help them in the Holy Ghost. He rules from heaven. He rules through us. We can do something. Let's pray for these guys. They may be as crooked as a dog's back leg, but we're to pray for them. You know what I mean? We're going to pray for them, because they're to represent the justice of our God. So I talked to this constable. He said since COVID, because of the treatment that the police did during that time, especially in the state of Victoria, that the respect of the people has lowered to 80%. It's 80% there. And they said it has just made it so hard. Just their presence used to evoke fear. And then, you know, it just starts lowering, and people are like, whatever, and talk back and cuss and even fight and stuff. Not when the fear of God's on those people. When the fear of God, and they may not even fear God, but we can pray for God's servants. You know why? Because I know I've been going back and forth this way, but as servants of Jesus Christ, we actually have a position over those servants. It's amazing. Now, we have to obey the law, yes, but as far as dispensing help from God, it comes through us. Oh, guys, we can make a difference. And the way your church is just so diligent to do what God says to do, I tell you, there's going to be help come out of Zion for this group of servants of God. Amen? So I asked the constable, I said, what can we do to help? And so he gave me a couple things, and then I told him we would have him back to the church. We'd have him back to the church, and they could bring their police cars and their fire engines and stuff. The children can run around and that kind of a deal. Just so they can see, no, we trust these people. We pray for these people. They need to hear that we pray for these people. Oh, guys, let's make a difference. Let's make a difference for New York, this part of the country. This is really flagging here. People are just mocking God over in this area. Just feeling like they can do anything to anybody, traffic anybody, do terrible things, and no one will do a thing. And you know what? What's sad? There's a reason they think that. Let's be praying about that sword. And I'm going to have you help me pray. Are you guys into this? And then we can go home, but we got to do our job. This is the church. We get to come together